Everybody's talking about Jamie. I mean, everybody's talking about it. What's going on, Ryan?
It's a true story. There was a documentary, and then based on the documentary, they turned it into a West End musical.
What?
And now adapted to a film. And Amazon called and asked me for my shoe size. And I was like, all right. So I told them. And the next thing I know, I'm sent a pair of, I don't know, it looks like 6-inch red sparkly heels, drag shoes, that are featured actually in a decent sized subplot in this movie. And so it's so funny. I tried them on. I could not walk in them.
But, wow.
But I've never experienced anything like that before. There is a photo on all my social media of it, and I will show it on TV again. But Everybody's Talking About Jamie is a new movie today, and it's really a great musical if you like musicals. It's about a gay boy in high school in England who is relatively accepted by his classmates. There's like one bully, but it doesn't really get to him.
Right.
He's got a really strong, really confident, you know, personality. But he decides he wants to come out at prom as a drag queen. And then everybody has a problem with that. So
Why?
Everybody was cool with the fact that he was gay, but they just didn't want him to wear a dress, right? Or makeup or do any kind of performance art or anything. So that's the crux of the story here. There's a lot more to it with the friendships and the relationships and issues he's dealing with family. It's a tearjerker. I mean, tears of sadness and joy and every emotion. And you don't have to like want to be a drag queen or part of the LGBT community to identify with this. It's a very universal story, the tone. It's really an underdog story, and it's about, you know, somebody who really wants to see his dreams come true when people doubt it. And it's probably the feel good movie of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
We got to go back to the part where that he wanted to come out during the prom. I think that would be the beautiful part of the story that comes out in prom. And I don't know, because I've always been in love with my prom back in 1980. So God dang, that touched me when you said that.
Yeah, and imagine, like, they already knew everybody. He was already openly gay, so
right.
He was just going to be coming out as a drag queen, which, you know, and drag is relatively mainstream these days. If you look at all the Emmys that RuPaul's Drag Race wins, and it's at least a big part of pop culture, everybody understands the art form that it is. You know, I don't think people look at it as a turnoff, you know, and I think it's celebrated. So I found it really interesting that was a sticking point, but it's true. I mean, I actually watched the documentary that it's based on called, like, Jamie Drag Queen at 16. It's also available on Amazon Prime Video. I recommend watching the movie first.
Yeah.
Because there are some changes, obviously, in adaptation. First of all, it's brilliant. After I watched the movie musical, and then I watched the documentary, and you think, how did they develop this into a musical? How does someone look at that documentary that I just watched and come up with all those great melodies and lyrics and then the dances and the color and to adapt it that way? It's like, I want to turn my life into a musical. Like, I wish all of our lives could be adapted to a musical just to bring all of that joy and energy and pop and splash and color and flair, like, to our lives. I think it would be amazing. I'm a huge fan of musicals.
Yeah.
So it's probably my favorite genre. We don't get many, but this year is really the year of the musical. We're getting more than enough. You know,
right.
We're getting at least one a month. This month we're getting 4.
Wow.
Number 3. Yeah. So it's been really great. But yeah, it's a really beautiful feel good movie.
I'm glad you said see the movie first, because I wish I would have seen Jennifer Hudson in Respect first before seeing that 9 or 10 part thing that showed up on the History Channel with,
yes,
with Aretha Franklin, because that's where I started. And when I went to the Jennifer Hudson movie, I felt nothing. I would,
right.
Because I'd already seen the story.
Right. I think it's a problem. For me, it's the reason why I rather see a movie first and then go back and read the book. When you read a book or you see a documentary or you know the source material that a film is adapted from, what you end up doing is pointing out and recognizing the things that are cut out, the things that are different, the things that are changed.
Yep.
And adaptation has to allow for creativity, you know, unless you're making a documentary. You know, so if you read a book and then you're seeing a documentary based on it, that's a different story, you know. But you know, the things are going to be cut out. Like, so when you've read a book or if you've seen a documentary first and then you go and watch the film or the TV series, you're just going to say, why is this person different? Why did that change that character from male to female? Why did they change that person's age? Or why is that person cut out of this person's life altogether? They don't even show them. I love them in the book, you know, for time or whatever choices they had to make. And those things, even though you still might like the movie, those things take you out of the movie.
Yeah.
And you struggle with a sense of disbelief in those moments. So I think it's always better to really give the movie its best shot to entertain you and to, you know, captivate you and really engage you is to watch it first, and you won't be distracted by all the differences from the edit. And then go back and get all the further information. You say, "Oh, I see what's
I got to set you up for the next one. I was one of the people that donated a lot of money to PTL. I was with Tammy Faye Baker. Tammy used to come to the radio station, and to see anything about my girl Tammy is just amazing because.
So you've met her?
Yes, yes. And,
wow.
And I became closer to God because of Jim and Tammy, and so you know, I mean it's it hurt me deeply when PTL did fall. I mean PTL is just right down the road from me.
It was Jim. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean he made some mistakes, right?
He did. And so did the people around him. But what did you think of? So I wanted to kind of set you up, saying that you know that Tammy Faye is still very much a part of my soul.
I've always loved her. I mean, yeah. I think she's amazing. I think she is unique in more ways than one. Obviously, she's got a really unique look, and that's the obvious. But her
tiny girl.
Yeah,
she was so tiny. Oh my God, tiny. Yes.
Well, just her personality, but what she stood for, the kind of you know, the values and the love that she. She led mm-hmm. with love, and she held love for everyone, for those different and for those that some in her community might not have accepted and loved and reached out to and touched. And you know, she really put her heart on her sleeve, and she really delivered love and joy and entertainment. And so I think she's an amazing woman. I always have, from the information that I knew about her. And actually this movie also, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, is based also on a documentary of the same name, which coincidentally I had seen years ago when that documentary first came out.
Wow.
And learned a lot about her. But since I had seen that first, even though it was years ago, watching the movie, I was totally noticing the differences. And this is what I'm talking about, why I wish I could have seen the movie before the documentary. Because
right.
I was like, wait, this is so different than the documentary. The documentary didn't show footage of her as a child, you know, and the problems with her mom. So this movie fills in a lot more story. So you see the full of Tammy Faye's story from her childhood all throughout the ups and downs of her life. And I think this is what's really important about her story. Two things. First of all, the love that she led with and how she was a non-judgmental. She really walked the walk and was there for everyone mm-hmm. and kind of a beacon in the televangelism community. Whereas some of her peers on TV at other stations and stuff seemed to be, you know, more judgmental. She was not.
Right.
And she loved to sing, and she loved Jim, and she loved and believed in the work that she did, but also she had so much hardship. So her ups and downs, it's amazing to see a person reach such heights that the rest of us will never reach, you know, in terms of fame and wealth and the rest of it, mm-hmm. just to see it, to go from so poor, to go to that wealthy, but then also to have such personal turmoil between, you know, having issues with her mother, to then having issues in her marriage, and then issues after that. And she trusted people, and she was used and taken advantage of and hurt by other people. And so it's all there in this movie. And Jessica Chastain is lost. I mean, the makeup is so good. This film does not win awards for the makeup,
yeah,
because you didn't see the makeup, but you didn't see Jessica Chastain either. It's that good. And so I think it's Jessica's best performance. She was fantastic. Andrew Garfield as Jim Baker, fantastic also. They do not shy. Oh, you got Vincent D'Onofrio in there as Jerry Falwell. I didn't even notice. Like, for his whole first scene, I didn't even notice. And I've interviewed Vincent D'Onofrio, and I love him. And he played the wizard in NBC's short-lived 1-season, 10-episode Emerald City series. And I was like, oh, he's in this movie. And then like his first scene, that's how good the makeup was. I was like, well, damn, that was Vincent D'Onofrio. Okay. And so he had some more scenes coming up, and then I knew it was him, but it was really, so this movie is so well done, and it's also very inspiring and very touching and sad, but also she's got a spirit that just, you know, jumps through the screen. And
wow.
So I think the movie really honors her legacy and who she was and what she did. So The Eyes of Tammy Faye is in theaters and definitely worth seeing.
Oh, my God. I stayed at that hotel so many times. I went to the water park so many times.
Really?
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
And we rode horses there. We went there all. That was our place. We went there for, because it was always so peaceful. I've never held anything against him. I and that's just the way I don't know why that is. But yeah, forgiving is my only answer. Okay, quickly changing the subject. What's this I hear that the morning show is already back on Apple Plus? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I've already watched all 10 episodes.
Shut up.
I binged it. I know they're releasing it one in a week, but they send it. Usually, now that I've become a TV critic in addition to a film critic, with TV series, what they'll do is they'll send you a bunch of the episodes in advance, and they'll usually send you all but the last two. So for like 9 Perfect Strangers or Only Murders in the Building, 2 wonderful Hulu series that everyone should be watching, by the way, they sent to us critics like the first 3/4 of the season. And so we know in advance of our friends that are watching what's going on, but then we have to wait to catch up all these weeks to catch up to episode 7 or episode 8,
right,
and wait,
right,
and wait to watch it with the rest of the world. And it's so aggravating, and it's so I get so impatient waiting for these when they're really good. But luckily with the morning show season 2, they sent me the full season, and I was gonna just watch a couple episodes here and there.
No,
it sucked me in. I watched every episode in 2 days. I watched 10 hours.
God.
And it was fun too, because they said it to me early where some of the, I could see some of the green screen. It was like some of it was temporary, so it was like work in progress episodes.
Wow.
Which is fun. So I'll rewatch it to see how they turned out, because it was really cool to see some of the behind the scenes.
Well, I'm so jealous of you, because you got to see the Nicole Kidman all the way through. We're still waiting for the next episodes on this side of the planet. I mean, and that has been the most incredible experience, and a new love for Nicole Kidman.
For 9 Perfect Strangers.
Yes.
Yes, she really, I mean, for all that she is capable of doing character work and being a chameleon and looking like a leading lady, but taking on amazing supporting roles, and she's certainly leading in this series, and she's gorgeous. You know, this is a role where they're not, you know, toning down her beauty as they have in some of her other roles. But it's still a character that, wow, is so complex, and that she can carve so much out so subtly. And yeah, you know, I could rave about her for hours. But yeah, that's really good. But let me tell you about the morning show season 2, because it's you know, Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. You've got Steve Carell back, Billy Crudup. There are some new faces, because there's a big, you know, bombshells going off at the end of season 1 and what was going to happen. You know, season 1 was kind of loosely based on the whole Matt Lauer incident.
Yeah, it was.
And dealing with the hashtag MeToo movement. Well, we've got season 2, and they do not shy away from other current events and topics.
Really?
And so cleverly. Yeah. And I don't want to give away what they are, but it is so timely, to the point where they were filming season 2 when the pandemic hit. So they went and they had to shut down, and then they went back in and they actually reshot some things to make season 2 take place between January and March of 2020.
No.
And what's so magnificent about that is, especially in the first few episodes where they're talking about, it's just kind of, it's an afterthought. It's like sprinkled in the background. Like if you're not paying attention to what's happening in the background, you'll totally miss it. But there's this stuff kind of subtly being reported about, like the stuff about COVID-19 and coronavirus, and like nobody knows what it is, nobody knows what it's like. So it's such a non-issue over here, and it just gave me the chills, because I wanted to be like, oh girls, wait, just wait, you have no idea what's about to happen. I was like, everybody go home, this is awful, I'm terrified. You know, they're all in New York, and I'm like, you don't know what's gonna happen.
Oh,
it's
my
crazy.
God.
And then, you know, each episode progresses, and they're making fun of like the term that, for the first time they hear a term like socially distancing, they're laughing about it. It's like, yeah, that's what I try to do on the weekends with my family. And it's like this joke. And it's like, oh, it's not funny. It is not funny, people. So there's this dread. So I loved how brilliantly they wove in and the fear, because in a way it's too soon for the rest of us. We're still kind of traumatized by the pandemic and this all and the year that we all lost, right? So that's brilliantly done. But at the same time, all of the stories between these characters, the interesting polarity between Reese's character and Jennifer's character, and how they're kind of friends, but they kind of hate each other, and where that goes this season, and all the drama with Billy Crudup running the morning show and the station and other things. And it was really good. I mean, these are master storytellers. And excellent performances. So that's Apple TV Plus.
Oh my God, I'm so in love with that show, and I'm so glad that you talked about it today, because I, you know, everything I've read was, you know, what's coming up. I mean, it's like Sex and the City. They keep talking about how they're filming it. Well, when is that coming out? And I keep waiting for that. So, you know, when I read about it, I just think that everything is always in production.
I know, yeah, it's just always there forever. I have a feeling, and just like that, which is the Sex and the City reboot, I have a feeling that's going to come out next year sometime.
Okay, okay.
Is my guess. My guess, I mean, they might surprise us around the holidays, but I feel like if they do that, you know, that's the time where we're getting, you know, all the West Side Story, all the big movies. So maybe we'll get a big TV show, but I'm just, and I have no intel about that whatsoever. I'm just estimating, guessing. Yeah.
I just love that all of these people from Hollywood, these big names in Hollywood, are part of our flat screen TVs. I just think this is such an age of television that could never be predicted, but my God, we're loving it.
I was thinking that too. I was thinking, yeah, a lot of kids, you know, today wouldn't realize, you know, there was a time where movie stars would rather die than do television.
Yep.
And now we're living, you know, what we had with The Undoing or The Big Little Lies. Like, I'm like, do what you want, you know? I mean, I think it's fabulous for them to, and TV has gotten better too, I think. You know, we used to just have sitcoms and things like that. So, yeah, all around it's good.
Wow. What's going on RyanJReviews.com?
I will be having a giveaway coming up in the coming weeks that I'm excited about, but otherwise just full reviews.
I love it. When you say giveaway, you're saying like movies or are you talking about swag?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have some Blu-ray, DVD copies to give away, some new releases.
That is so awesome. Dude, you be brilliant this weekend, okay?